Welcome to year 8. Last week, we began our 8th year of consecutive weekly episodes of the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I hope you've enjoyed these backstage, behind-the-scenes audio glimpses at how we put together and perform our shows and the conversations we've had with actors and comedians and authors and playwrights and designers and directors over the years. And since it's the RSC podcast's 8th birthday, if you have enjoyed the podcast over the years, would you do me a favor? Instead of cards or cake or scotch or tea bags, would you go over to iTunes and leave the RSC podcast a 5-star review and perhaps some lovely complimentary words? I know I mention this every week, but it's probably the part of the podcast you tune out. And as silly as it sounds, these sorts of reviews matter and they help. And I promise to leave reviews of the podcasts I listen to, too. Thank you for that, and most of all, thank you for listening. It's a wonderful feeling knowing there's about 1,100 of you downloading this every week, and another 1,000 to 2,000 of you downloading each episode later on as the spirit moves. You know what? We should have a sign. If you ever see me at a performance or on the street, why don't you tug one earlobe like Carol Burnett used to do? No, better yet, tug one earlobe and throw me a gookie. A gookie is the face Harpo Marx used to make. He'd cross his eyes and he'd stick his tongue out. So do that. Tug one earlobe and throw me a gookie, and I will return the sign, and we will have that bond. We will know that we are members of the tribe, the few, the thousands, the international band of Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast listeners. I am proud to know you. Thanks for 7 years of your company. Now let's head over to the 2 a.m. Club in Mill Valley, California, and get year 8 underway.
All right, Dom, we're in for it now. We've got the original cast of the complete history of comedy abridged. They've come to see us tonight. They've got their notes. Yeah. Dan Sasky, Chad Yarish, what do you think?
Well, I'd say, speaking for myself and Chad, we probably were both sitting there thinking, God damn it, we did this better.
That seems fair.
Yeah. Burn!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 417, Comedy Cast Notes. At our very first performance of the Complete History of Comedy Abridged at the Marin Theater Company last Friday, we were joined by Dan Sasky and Chad Yarish, two of the three guys who performed the very first workshop performances of the show at the Napa Valley Playhouse in August and September of 2013. After the show, we retired across the street to Mill Valley's famed watering hole, the 2 a.m. Club, and in the noisy confines of the Deuce, Dominic Conti and I talked to Dan and Chad about how and why the show has changed in the last 15 months and what it was like for them to watch it.
Was it weird? Was it different? Was it awkward? Was it, did you go, oh, that was lovely? Or was it, oh, thank God we're not doing this again?
What I thought was great about what you guys did with it was that everything made more sense. And every character had a little more arc to it than when we workshopped it.
Yeah, well, this is the thing you learn in the workshops. Because even when you guys were continuing your run at Napa Valley Playhouse, Dom and Reed and I were rehearsing our version and kind of going, yeah, I'm not sure we solved that in the writing. So we were having to solve it in the writing by that time, we couldn't throw any more changes at you guys.
I don't remember it that way. I remember getting the changes up until, all right, you guys have closed the run, but here are your notes.
No, that's right. Well, the show closed 4 weeks ago. We still have some thoughts.
We had just enough changes during the run and all the notes that we got. But then we'd hear from you guys, you know, like you guys would say, oh, we came up with a whole other bit for the, you know, the Pantalone or the Arlecchino bit, you know, the whole Commedia bit. But we can't give it to you because it's a little too much.
Well, and that was one of the things that Dominic brought to the rehearsal process, because when he saw what you had done and saw the script, he went, I think we can do more. And Dom just, you know, took it upon himself to just say, to kind of drive us to change that. Well done, Dom.
Yeah, that the Commedia piece needed everybody involved, mm-hmm. is what I felt, you know?
Yes, and I definitely like how you had the initial Commedia bit, but then you brought it back into the vocabulary thing when you're talking about the
slaps.
Yeah, all the slapstick stuff, and you actually bring out the slapstick.
Yeah, that slapstick did become a sort of running thing. The thing I miss is the catchphrases. because we've been talking about catchphrases since the Millennium show.
Yeah.
And catchphrases, you know, we had this. We were on
catchphrases were tight when these guys did it.
Yeah, and you guys had some amazing catchphrases. What, Dan? What was your catchphrase?
What's up, bitches?
Which I don't even know what that...
Nobody knows what it really means. It's just, what's up, bitches?
It's just you saying it in that voice. And we all tried it. None of us could make it work.
Well, and it's not just Dan saying it, but it's the tech guy puppet that when we were originally working on the puppet bit,
right.
We got the stunt puppets.
The rehearsal, yeah, the stunt puppets.
And
yeah, that's right.
It was that... That puppet with Dan's voice behind it,
yeah.
And it was just
that
thing that went through our entire process.
No, it's absolutely right. Well, and we got rid of it. We had to cut that section for Edinburgh, the catchphrases, because all the catchphrases were only well known in America. And so we didn't want to spend the time, oh God, finding new catchphrases. We just said, oh, screw it. Let's just cut it. And that cut the Elixir of Laughs thing. And Reed always felt like he was working harder than he wanted to leap on and off of the stage. And so we said, just make it a thing.
Well, I guess on that note, in general, like the show zips. It zips more. You cut all the, you know, yeah, there's little things that, you know, I'm sure Chad and I, and if Dodds was here, we'd all say, oh, we missed this line or this line. And we go, is it really necessary?
Right.
You know, and I just thought every bit was shortened for a good, in a good way.
Good.
That it zipped along. There was no time for anyone to go, wait, so what's next? Boom, because something was next, you know.
Well, and we added Nichols and May because Mike Nichols died recently, and I'm not sure he's on anybody. I'm not sure Nichols and May would be at the first of many people's top of their minds about comic duos.
But comedy people, they would be.
Absolutely.
There's an interesting roster there.
Yes.
Because like a lot of comedy people, Nichols and May would be top five,
right.
Especially of a certain age, you know.
Well, and I want to get Key and Peele into that lineup.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are places we go, they go, who are Key and Peele? I went, who are Key and Peele? What is wrong with you? Yeah, what's the matter? I don't even want to know you. But, you know, so we added Mike Nichols, but we dropped young Dr. Bill Cosby from the lineup of African American comedians that we salute, because now that's a whole different thing now. You know, we thought about putting in, and how about the great Bill Cosby? Love to rape women, but that seems
too soon.
The very definition.
Right now.
That's the very definition of right now. That shit happened. And even Chad, you were saying, I mentioned Cosby just in the song, and you were saying, ooh, maybe you should take that out. And I'm asking everybody whether that's going to make people feel weird.
I thought the same thing right when you said it. I was like, I thought all Cosby references were cut.
Right. But that's. That's the hard part I'm having, the struggle I'm having, which is, oh, Jesus Christ, that's hateful. That what he's done is just hateful and evil and wrong. But he made me laugh as a kid, and that song is about the things that made me laugh growing up. So I'm really torn.
It's hard to separate. I mean, you know, Michael Richards has that issue.
Yeah.
One of the greatest sitcom actors of all time.
Right.
And because of he made a horrible, horrible thing one night.
Which he has regrets.
Which he regrets and may have been indicative of his overall personality or may have not been. I don't know the man.
Mm-hmm.
But now people, when they think of Michael Richards, it tends to be that thing they think of.
Right, and maybe he just had a bad night.
For all I know, he did, but
Cosby,
I don't know.
Cosby didn't have a bad night.
Yeah, Cosby had a couple bad decades.
It's great to bring it back to the show back to the Bay Area so you guys can see it. And so anybody who saw the workshop production in Napa Valley Playhouse
would have actually seen the actual West Coast premiere.
Yeah,
because I did hear them announce that tonight. I don't know if you caught that, Jack.
Yeah, I heard that.
The West Coast premiere was tonight.
West Coast
but yet it
premiere.
About a year ago or so.
Year and a half.
It was in Napa, and
I
wasn't that
West
doing
Coast.
A show there called the same goddamn thing.
There's
the West Coast premiere extension.
There's a very subtle distinction that I'm sure is lost on many people, that this is the West Coast premiere of the reduced Shakespeare Company production.
Yes.
Oh.
because it was that was the Napa Valley Playhouse production,
yes.
directed by Reed Martin and Austin, written and directed by Reed Martin and Austin Tischer, who have nothing to do with the review of Shakespeare.
Nothing to do with it.
Yes. Completely unassociated.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, and we also, and I failed to introduce you guys at the top of this, but we got April George, who has designed the lights and stage managed the workshop productions of sports, right? And Christmas and comedy. You're here tonight, so I'll need your thoughts. And we also have Laura Tennyson, who was on the crew, the wardrobe. She was the wardrobe goddess of sports. What are your notes? Wait, you didn't work on this show. You worked on the sweatshirt.
I was an excellent audience member.
Yes, you were. You were. It was an excellent audience here at Marin.
You're welcome.
Yes.
I'm the
best audience member,
which is a shame because I do so much work on the stage. I don't get a chance to.
You were the best in your row, for
right.
sure.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. He tries to shine in the audience as well, and he doesn't always get recognized for it, you know?
Well, he's shaving his head now, so he shines quite a bit, actually, in the audience. April, what did you think? Now, you're watching it as an audience member, not working on it.
Yeah, no, it was way different. I thought you changed a lot of stuff, and that's not okay.
I like the old, slower version. With all the lines that we love that nobody gives a shit about except us.
I miss the puppets being later in the show in Act Two.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, we moved the Supreme Court puppet scene earlier in the show, mostly because it felt like the show had too many endings. That was the reason we moved it. So it had too many endings, so we wanted to kind of get rid of it. Also, it didn't.
Right, Chad. I mean, Chad hasn't. You might have thought they were still going to do the old ending where we went back into the box.
Yes, I was expecting that.
Yeah,
I definitely was.
The pies to end it.
Just pie done. Good.
Yeah, pie done. You were all right with it.
Yeah, I was totally.
When we got to Cincinnati, Blake Robinson, the artistic director, said, you know what?
You can't beat three pies
You can't. And then you have everybody excited for a big ending, and then you kind of do this kind of
denouement sort of thing.
Yeah, and it works in a serious play.
Yeah.
It was actually
kind of lovely, and I'm glad I did it once. Because we did it for a preview, and that's cool. But you can't beat three pies, two in the face, one in the crotch. We're out of there!
Hi, everybody. I'm Frank Malacota. I'm the morning anchor at Channel 5, CBS Channel 5, KPIX in San Francisco. And I always listen to the Reduce Shakespeare podcast.
Where can you RSE the RSE? For the next 3 weeks, you can see us performing The Complete History of Comedy Abridged at the Marin Theater Company, and you can also see us perform two nights of The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Illinois and Maryland. Then, starting next month in January 2015, we begin a five-month UK and Ireland tour of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to the Deuce, the 2 a.m. club in Mill Valley.
Reed said that you can't end the show, that the helium is what really ends the show.
Right, yeah.
And so that's why it was moved.
Yeah, it's hard to top the helium. Did it used to be after the helium?
Yeah,
that was the thing.
It used to be after the helium. And also, it's really not. It's we've kind of tied it into Rambozo, but it's really not part of Rambozo's story, that whole Supreme Court thing. So that's why we wanted to get rid of it first.
Right at the beginning, yeah.
Get it over with, and then we can move on to Rambozo's story.
That made sense. And there was a lot more clicker clarification in this version, too.
Right.
It's established very early that Dom has Reed's clicker.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And I think there was
he never has it.
Yeah. Right. And I think there was even the line, something about it'll make sense later, or.
Why did you kick me in the crotch? Right. You'll see.
You'll see. Yeah.
Well, that's true, because it's like, we used to have a bit, Dan, I don't know if you ever even saw it, but I would get Reed back at the point where he's using the clicker to make me do stuff, and I would get him back, but then we cut that because I get him at the end, you know,
right,
and that's what he wants.
So we go
blackout on crunch, Dom falls to the ground, out, you know?
Right.
That's right. Well, that was these
in
were
the first act, and then in the second act, then he drives me to the point where I but I don't think you ever got him back in your version.
No,
yeah, it's
no.
Kind of like it's got to turn around. That's what I thought too. It's like it's gotta Dom then has to learn.
And you know, I mean, Dodds used to kick me in the nuts really hard.
Dodd's aim sucks. So a stage kick in the nuts is an actual kick in the nuts.
Really?
Oh wow, really? That ain't good.
Yeah, you guys were there. Maybe you were on Skype or something, but
probably.
I know Reed was there, and Dodds just nailed me. Just right on. Nut up.
He would graze.
He would graze.
Oh yeah, where'd the nut up thing come from? You guys watch Zombieland a couple times too many?
No, that came up in Cincinnati. We were just kind of coming up with.
Hey, nut
but
up.
You, that's what I heard you guys laughing when I nutted up.
Yeah.
But then because I'm like, Reed is like, the first time around, especially on, like, kick me a little harder, you know? Like, really, really wind up and whack it. Because he's got good aim, and he's hitting me right here in the meat, and I can take it.
Yeah, Dodds, you don't want to ever ask, like, hey, come on, really give it to me, bud.
Yeah. Wow, it's called acting. It's called pretend. Well, that's the thing, but, you know, the clicker business and all that stuff. It's like when you're working on a new show that's like comedy triage, right? There's only so much you can accomplish in a certain day, and there's only so much you can memorize, and there's only so much as with the writers we can focus on. But so I think we were already running. We might have already been running in Cincinnati when Reed started going, all right, wait a second, this clicker. Who's got the clicker? Who starts the clicker?
Yeah.
You know, that's when we finally started figuring out the whole clicker business.
The journey of the clicker.
Yeah. Well, and that was, I remember that being part of our journey, which, like, there's a clicker. Somebody has the clicker.
Everybody has a clicker in their pocket.
Everybody keep a clicker on you at all times.
It started in rehearsals for Cincinnati. I'm like, you know what? I just kept putting a clicker in my left pocket.
Always.
Didn't matter. Like, and now I just, like, I've always got one if ever it comes down, and at one point I fell down and I crushed a clicker. I'm just like, don't fall on your left side. And I fell on my right side and it saved the clicker from then on. And I'm, you know,
I think we had a similar experience a time or two.
It worked out. I asked for multi clickers and we that's how we done it.
Well, and we're not breaking as many clickers as we used to because we know how they work now.
I got a system.
And you got a system.
Let's be honest, I was breaking the clickers.
Oh, was it you? I didn't know.
I was breaking the clickers.
I only handled the clicker once.
You didn't break any clickers, it was me.
Yeah, the only time we ever had the clicker was in the toss, the hot potato pickle.
I'd always go backstage. Someone got a clicker. Who's got a clicker? Chad would look at me like, nope. I don't need one, bro.
Not my department.
We have a big cup back there filled with clickers.
Do you guys still remember the lines? What has it been now? 2 years? A year and a half. Were you hearing lines tonight and going, holy crap, I forgot about that line? Or were you mouthing along with us?
There were points where I was like, oh yeah, and there were other points where it was as you were saying them, they were repopulating in my mind again. Like the whole Elixir of Laughs thing was coming back to me.
Wow.
And the song, I was definitely mouthing along to.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing about the song. Because I don't have quite as high a register as you do,
right.
I had to make up my own version. And I've been performing that version pretty regularly since then.
Yeah. Where?
For friends and family, and like I just did As You Like It, and Jennifer had me walk.
Oh, that's right.
At intermission, as intermission was ending, I just walked into the auditorium and started strumming and singing that, and got cut off at the line about Richard Pryor being on fire.
Really?
But then
that's great.
It's the first time in a year and a half that I was like, oh, that's how that's actually supposed to sound. Is
right.
How you're singing.
That's right, because I do the different melody. But you know what? Your melody saved me, because when I got to Cincinnati, I got some coal. Where I didn't lose my voice, but I lost the full range of my voice. So suddenly I couldn't hit those high notes that I used to. So I was singing your version, your sort of lower Lauren Bacall, I've got a four-note range version of the song. And it was great. It was perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your notes via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages. And as I always say, you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes, and I hope you will. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, godfather of the RSC podcast, Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to David Folds. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Frank Malicote from CBS KPIX Channel 5 in San Francisco. We'll be on Frank's arts show Bay Sunday next week. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 117 1250 firsts of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Any other thoughts? It's one of the few times that I've ever gotten to see, you know, something that I put so much effort into and love to do so much, seeing the actual guys who hired me to do that for them to do it. Did that make any linguistic sense whatsoever?
But absolutely.
Yeah, it's always awesome to see you guys do the thing that we helped you create.
Well, and honestly, we could not have done it. Well, we could have, but it wouldn't have been anywhere near as easy or as wonderful as without doing it with you guys.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.